Does a father-daughter connection go deeper than the grave? Has your loved one ever come to you in a dream? Would you haunt a parent to let them know you're okay? Today we test the believability of ghosts of the famous.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
Yes, that is right. This episode's not going to be as scary as the last one.
That's okay. We can't do that every time.
No,
can't do
it. For me, for my heart.
So we have extra lights on this time. We got some, you know.
Actually, I brought my own nightlight.
Did you?
Yeah.
Just plug them in everywhere.
No, this is something I've been meaning to do for a little bit. I saw this article. I saw this article.
This digital words written
and
on a computer screen.
It inspired this of doing ghosts of famous people.
So like famous people being seen as ghosts.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Not just like, is that Keanu Reeves? Oh, he's gone.
That would be the worst way to find out.
Yes.
You're like, wow, you're not going to believe this. I saw this ghost that looked just like, oh no. If you had to see a famous ghost, is there one in particular you'd like to run into?
Yeah, he's in this one.
Oh, he is in. So you don't want to spoil.
No, I don't want to spoil it.
No, I don't want you to. I figured maybe they wouldn't be in your list.
Do you have one?
No, I don't need to. No,
I don't need to.
I'm good. I'll pass. I'll catch him next time.
Okay.
Next reincarnation.
I told you off air, there's a bunch of like little vignettes. So that's the structure of this. And we're going to test the believability if this could actually be a thing, which I have a strong possibility it's going to go pretty high because we already believe in ghosts.
That's true. Do we believe in high profile A-lister famous ghosts?
I don't see why not. But
depends if these famous people had some unfinished business.
So let's move on to the first one. Trigger warning, death/suicide. We have the very infamous Michael Jackson.
Yes.
Yes.
2009.
When he died?
Yeah.
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 How do you know that?
I just remembered.
That's crazy.
Just movie dates and celebrity deaths.
That's wild. All right. So he actually died in Los Angeles in 2009, like you said. He died from a combination of sedatives, Propofol, anesthetic. Death was actually ruled, I didn't know this, as a homicide in 2011 from his personal doctor, and he was convicted of involuntary manslaughter. So all these are going to go death and then sightings.
Sure.
So move on to his sightings. Michael's ghost is said to...
Do you want to do a little background of who Michael Jackson is?
Mm-mm.
He's a pop star. He's
okay.
A pop singer. Yeah, you don't have to go into the allegations and the fact that he was probably really...
Bad.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was a pop star.
This might be a ghost you don't want to run into. What was it, Scary Movie?
Yes, it was a Scary Movie. They did a parody of him.
From, I think, the others.
He had a lot of plastic surgery.
Yeah.
His nose fell off in that movie. That was a joke in a lot of stuff about his nose. It was a thing in South Park, too.
Yeah.
He had a very traumatic life.
Yeah. You don't need to go into the weeds. I just mean, there might be one person, maybe from a different country, that doesn't know who Michael Jackson is.
He did Thriller. That's probably my favorite song from him. Or you know, maybe Smooth Criminal.
Smooth Criminal, yeah. Beat It's not bad.
I don't like Beat It.
You don't like Beat It?
Mm-mm.
What's the, that doesn't matter.
I don't know why your sides to the story just are killing me today.
Okay.
So he's said to be seen in the infamous Neverland Ranch.
Mm.
It's infamous because of the bad things we talked about.
Mm-hmm. Probably one place you're safe from black-eyed kids.
Even
they're like, I'm good.
Like, oh,
I'm good.
We're going to pass. It's said to have, quote, his presence. And a quote from India Today said, local people say Jackson's spirit has been haunting his estate since he died. Investors and visitors considered buying the property are warned that workers on the ranch have claimed to see the King of Pop haunt the premises. End quote.
Just imagining you're showering and you see that.
You know, you hear the shoes squeaking backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. that's the Michael Jackson. It's not a lot. He just says that he's supposed to haunt the Neverland Ranch.
He's just hanging around.
He probably just had so much fun there.
Moonwalking. Well, I think if you look at the death and the, you know, traumatic deaths have been said.
He was only 50.
I just mean the idea of like a traumatic death is been known to lead to people not leaving this plane or this existence.
That's true. So our next famous person, celebrity. This one's a little bit older. This is Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
So the blonde bombshell was the paramour to John F. Kennedy, and she was found dead in 1962. She was found in her bed with a phone in one hand and her bottle of antidepressant pills scattered all over the room. A brief investigation by the LAPD said it was ruled a suicide, and there's some speculation that she was actually killed by Secret Service to cover her affair with John F. Kennedy, which it was pretty public. So I don't know. I did look it up. She did die before he died.
She died before he died.
Yeah, he died in 63. This was in 62.
I would be so much more knowledgeable about this if I just watched that new Ana de Armas movie.
What's that?
Blonde.
I think that's actually, those are where the quotes are from.
Oh, the movie?
Yeah.
Like talk about the movie or those direct quotes from the movie?
No, direct quotes from the movie. The actress that played her.
Ana de Armas.
Yes.
Okay.
She talks about
being haunted. You know her from, yes, you saw her in Knives Out. She was the main girl from Knives Out.
Oh, no, snap. Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, during the filming of the biopic Blonde, the actress that portrayed her claimed, quote, "I truly believe that she was very close to us. She was with us," said the Cuban-born actress. How do you say it? Ana de Armas?
I believe it's Ana de Armas, but I could be very wrong. That's just what I've always said in my brain when her name pops up in front of my eyeballs.
To continue with the quote, she said, "I think she was happy. She would also throw things off the wall sometimes and get mad if she didn't like something." Ana continued to tell reporters, "Maybe this sounds very mystical, but it's true. We all felt it." And the movie actually played with fire because they filmed the death scene in the same room where Marilyn died.
Wow. That seems like there's method acting.
It's almost
acting.
Bad taste, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's authentic.
It's very authentic.
Wow. That almost seems unnecessary, though.
It's crazy to me that she haunted this movie, potentially.
See, until you mentioned that last detail, I would have just thought that they were so into it, so into the script, so getting into character that maybe it felt like it.
No, I think they disturbed something. I think they poked the bear a little bit. So our next high-profile specter is Whitney Houston.
Okay.
You know the year?
Oh, is it 2000 or 2010s? Is it
2010s.
2010s. I'm feeling either 13 or 16, but I could be wrong. What year?
12.
12? Okay.
The singer with the nickname of quote-unquote, The Voice, suddenly passed in 2012 in Beverly Hills at the age of 48, which is really sad.
Are these all California?
No, no, they're not.
Must be them taxes getting.
I know, right? Or that legal marijuana.
Legal marijuana.
I don't think that kills you, though.
Taxes and earthquakes.
Yeah.
Coming for you.
According to the 42-page coroner's report, there was a cocktail of prescription and non-prescription drugs in her system when she died, including cocaine.
42 pages?
Yeah.
That dude gets paid by the hour. That could have been probably 2 pages.
Yeah, that's a hefty coroner's report, right?
Jeez.
How many times did he write the word the?
Or he probably did the thing where you highlight the period and make it a bigger size so it extends your page.
Yeah.
We've all been to college. Come on.
It's the period. Why is the period half the page, man?
Don't worry about it. It doesn't actually look like it gets bigger, though, but it does make your page longer.
It does help a little bit. Let's say, like, if you got 2.5 pages and you do that trick, it'll take you to almost 3.
If you're in college or high school, if you're in school still, I highly recommend getting Grammarly, because I wish so badly. And maybe it didn't exist. It definitely didn't exist when I was in high school.
I don't think so.
Definitely could have had it in high or college and grad school.
Mm-hmm.
Totally recommend getting Grammarly.
After using it now, I agree as well.
Yeah. Cleans up your language, and also it has a plagiarized checker. This episode is not sponsored by Grammarly.
Don't tell your teacher or professor, though.
What are they going to do?
I don't know. Maybe they'll grade you on a curve then.
I feel like that's doing everything necessary to make sure you hand in a very good... You know, you know how many times I reread my thing after typing it?
Yeah.
Very little.
Yeah, I never do. I never do.
Now I do. But
as a teacher, that's bad advice. You should do that, but I never do it.
Just use Grammarly.
Yeah.
Grammarly.
It helps. There was also water in the lungs that matched the initial coroner's report that she drowned.
What chapter of that coroner's report book?
It was in chapter 8 after she met the Prince Charming, but he did not revive her because she died in the bathtub. And there are two versions of how she may have drowned and got water in the lungs. One, it was some kind of inebriation from the drugs and she kind of sank into the water and drowned. Or from heart disease and she had a heart attack and that led her to drown.
Mm.
But she did die in the room.
That sucks. I mean, these all are going to suck.
Yeah. So some ghostly encounters of Whitney. There's been several. Three that we can recount. So there's a show called Sherlock. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I never watched it, but I know what you're referring to.
Big fan, actually. One of the actresses stayed in the same room where Whitney died.
Okay.
And she said, quote, she got a vibe and it was really scary. Didn't necessarily say she saw her, but it was scary.
Okay.
She stayed there for 4 days.
In that room?
In that room.
Why?
I don't know. I assume she was just there.
Okay. Just hanging out.
Yeah.
Getting DoorDash.
Maybe work. I don't know. Could have been anything, really.
She died in a bathroom?
Whitney did, yeah.
A hotel room bathroom?
Yeah.
Okay, so she stayed in this hotel room for 4 days.
Yes, yes.
Not just a bathroom for 4 days.
That'd be pretty wild.
It's a commitment to see a ghost, I guess.
Yeah. I'm going to stay in this room.
Playing Bloody Mary in the bathroom that Whitney Houston died in.
I think what happened if Whitney popped up instead of Bloody Mary.
Oh, God. I don't think that's how it works. But then again, I don't know how it works, so who knows? There's only one way to find out, Charlie.
Thank you. Whitney's mother said that the night she died, her doorbell would not stop ringing as a sign, and she occasionally felt her presence. She still feels her presence.
The doorbell ringing, that's very interesting.
Yeah, she kept doing the doorbell as like a indicator.
I wonder if it was a real doorbell or if she lives in an apartment. It was just like, bzzz, like, you know, when you're in an apartment building and someone wants to.
Mm.
That'd be way more annoying, I think. Well, they both would not be pleasant.
She said doorbell.
Okay.
And lastly, I think probably the most dubiously, Bobby Brown claims to have been intimate with Whitney's spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, I saw that. I was like, I saw this article like twice. I was like, I don't believe him.
Did he get ghost consent?
I hope so. Well, they were married, right?
I don't know. Were they?
Yeah, they were married.
Okay. There are no details?
No.
It's not about to get spicy on Believe in the Bizarre?
No, he just said he did.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I don't believe you, sir. Like, that's me. I didn't believe him. Although there are stories of people that like have married ghosts and stuff like that. And I would be interested in talking about them to an extent.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if there is some kind of merit to that, but I don't know. I don't know to what.
Ghost just wants the joint bank account and then it's going to dip.
Why does this ghost want tax benefits?
Ghost baby. And then, oh no, there goes half your income.
Oh boy. So that's Whitney. So let's do, are you a big Beatles fan?
No.
We're going to talk about John Lennon.
Okay. I'm in the minority. I know I'm in the minority.
I'm not a fan.
Oh.
Really either.
So we're in the minority.
We are, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, I love Yellow Submarines and Walruses. Goo 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 Choo. They have some good songs. They have some good songs. And I appreciate let me say this. They have some good songs, and I appreciate what they did for music.
Objectively, they have made good music. It is not my cup of tea.
That, and they have some pretty objectively bad songs, too, in my opinion. But
when you make as much as they do, they have to. You have to have some good and bad.
Weren't they only around for like 6 years, though?
No. It was a long time.
I don't think so.
You mean as a band?
Yes.
I think it was not super long.
I feel like it was like 4 to like 7 years.
I think on the longer end of that, maybe 8.
Less than a decade.
Okay. That's fair. But they also mostly continued to make music separately.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I just mean as a band, as those four together. I feel like it was not a long period of time.
That's fair.
And true. I could be very wrong. I'm not a Beatles historian.
Expert. No.
My sister is, because of entomology. I don't think she likes the band either.
Yeah. Deserve that.
But yeah, let's talk about Lennon.
Yeah, so John Lennon was killed in 1980. He was famously shot dead in public at the age of 40. His killer, Mark David Chapman, shot Lennon in front of his fans and family after Lennon gave him an autograph earlier that day. Chapman blamed his assassination on one of my favorite books, Catching the Rye, calling Lennon a phony.
Or like one of my favorite shows, Family Guy. Big phony.
Lenin was memorialized in Strawberry Fields, a section across from the Dakota where he was killed in New York in Central Park.
So we're away from LA.
Yes, we are in New York now.
In New York.
Yeah. Do you know what city the Beatles are from?
The UK, right? I don't know.
Yeah. You know what city, though?
Hold on. Is it start with the Abbey? No.
Abbey Road?
Think
Abbey
no,
Road?
No. But, no, I don't know.
It's Liverpool.
Liverpool?
Yeah.
There's a Liverpool right here.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Not How do we one. Know they're not from Ohio?
I think we know them, yeah.
Are we sure?
I think we know.
Okay. I think that's another episode for another day.
Yeah, they're from Liverpool.
It's I say that meme where it's all Ohio, and the guy behind him always has been.
Yes. Okay, so the ghostly experiences of John Lennon are, quote from the exemplar, in 1983, 3 years after the death, two residents of the building, Joe Harrow and Amanda Morris, saw John Lennon standing in the doorway where he'd been assassinated, bathed in eerie light. John appeared deep in thought, perhaps contemplating the utter futility of his passing, end quote. And then we also have another quote from Yoko Ono. Do you know who that is?
Mm-hmm.
It's his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's the one that they said broke up the band.
Yes, she is. Wasn't going to say that part.
Well, I'm not saying it. I don't know enough about her. That's what they say. Capital they.
Yeah. So, quote, Yoko Ono also witnessed the ghostly image of her husband in the apartment they once shared. Seated at his grand piano, he turned to his wife, comforted her with the words, "Don't be afraid, I'm still with you," end quote. Which is a really nice thought.
Yeah, for sure.
And there was another story about how the Beatles came together to actually do a memorial song for John, the rest of the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And when they left the studio, there was a white dove.
Really?
And they said they could feel it. They could feel that he was there with them, which is a nice thought.
It is a nice thought.
And that's the end of John. The next one back in California, Tupac Shakur.
Yes.
The death of Tupac was in, do you know the year?
1997 or 5.
Oh, you're so close.
Six. Okay.
That's crazy. How do you know this stuff?
I don't know.
That's nuts.
I don't know.
I could not name one. Tupac died in 1996 of a gunshot wound. He was killed by a gunshot. Long story short, there was a rivalry. I cannot say that goddamn word.
Rivalry?
Yes, rivalry between Biggie and Tupac, and it led to both of the rappers' death. The killer was never caught. Actually, there's a really good last podcast series on it and a Time Suck series on it. But basically, Tupac was in a car with Suge Knight, who was the head of Death Row Records, when a white Cadillac pulled up on them at a red light and shot 12 times. Tupac caught 4 bullets, and Suge was actually grazed in the head. Suge rushed Tupac to the University Medical Center, but after emergency surgery, he still passed away. He's pronounced dead. Kind of like this amazing story, and there are conspiracy theories around Tupac's death.
That he's still alive, right?
Yes, but also that maybe Suge Knight ordered the hit on Tupac.
And he was like, listen, shoot at me, but just like graze in my head.
Yeah, that's actually a thought, but I think it's a little too far-fetched because the amount of trust you'd have to have in somebody to like shoot at you and not kill you.
You'd have to hate the person that you'd be willing to die so that mm-hmm. they died.
Yeah.
When really, in that case, he could have just crashed his car.
He could have done anything else besides what he did. He could have had Tupac in the back.
Yeah, it's a flawed plan if it was.
Yeah. But, I mean, Tupac was only 25 when he died.
Yeah, he was young. Biggie wasn't old either, right?
No, he was not.
Yeah.
None of them lived past 30. Well, Suge's still alive, and Puff Daddy's still alive, Snoop's still alive. So, a lot of them live past 30. But there's influential people that died at a young age. They had this chip on their shoulder to an extent.
I think there's also, especially, well, I don't want to say especially then, because I feel like it's there now. Just the lifestyle that comes with success and that sort of thing.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. And they're almost playing at a lifestyle that they weren't really part of.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people die around, like, what, 27? Is that?
Yeah.
Is that,
that sounds familiar.
Is that the number?
Yeah. One of the most prolific rappers of the 90s may have visited one of the most prolific rappers of now, Kendrick Lamar, which I don't know if you've heard much of his stuff, but.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. Won a Pulitzer.
Really?
It did.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
That album won a Pulitzer Prize.
Is that 2017?
It was a little bit ago, but still a fantastic artist. And he said that Tupac came to him in a dream. He said, quote, he had been visited in his sleep by the ghost of the legendary Tupac Shakur. Lamar spoke of the incident to homegrown radio recalling how Shakur's silhouette came to him and said, "Keep doing what you're doing. Don't let my music die." This experience later inspired the closing song to Pimp a Butterfly titled Mortal Man, in which he samples the real life interview with Tupac Shakur in 1994.
Interesting. That's crazy. And even if it's not true, it's still cool how that dream had such a huge impact on Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, even if it wasn't really Tupac, like this idea that he woke up and said, I need to make sure I somehow use this influence Tupac to, you know.
It's cool how a person can have that effect even if it's not directly them. Yeah. So it's like, you might think about how you as a person directly influence someone or directly impact somebody, but it's like a lot of us don't know ways that we indirectly affect people even after we pass, which is crazy.
Very true. So Tyler, let's take this time to introduce our friends at the Bleefhole Podcast. They're this podcast and we made a connection with them and we wanted to tell you a little bit about them because we're going to play a promo for the show because they deserve it. Because we really think that they have great sound quality. They have really good effects, which is something I feel very passionate about.
It's a very professional sounding podcast, which is something I think you and I, both having been in it, we kind of look for.
Yeah. And they're also really well structured.
Yeah.
Which is something they get right into it. They don't mess around at the beginning. They still need to say, "Hey, John, what's up? How was your weekend?" They go, "You know what's crazy? Ghosts." And they go.
Yeah. And you know, with a name like Bleefhole and being in the paranormal world, you know, it's awesome. They've been around longer than we have and they're legitimate and they're Ohio boys.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're in good company.
They're also very skeptical too, though, which I appreciate.
I definitely appreciate. But they put out a really good production. It's a really good paranormal podcast. If you like us, we really think you're going to like them. So check out their promo right here.
Have you heard of the Bleefhole Podcast? True tales of the inexplicable and the unknown.
Just a shadow of a man standing at the edge of my bed.
The next thing I know, there are two long metal rods coming at my head.
Join the brothers of the Bleefhole as they explore the strange through deep research and sonic storytelling.
Large triangle shaped something.
It was so freaky.
It looked like it was coming closer, like out of the forest.
I thought to myself, what on earth?
I do remember that bright light.
It looked at least 7-8 feet tall.
This thing staring at me.
I remember thinking to myself, what the hell is going on?
This thing was blacker than black.
Weird chanting.
Halfway through, it had stood up on its hind legs and walked the rest of the way.
Discover the Bleefhole Podcast, available wherever you listen.
So the next ghost who is, this is probably the one I, answer your question. This is the one I'd want to meet.
Did they die in the 90s?
Yes.
Is it Kurt Cobain?
Yes.
95?
No. You're so close.
94?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus. It's so close. I'm just going to guess one down no matter what.
Yeah, it's like the joke from Adventure Time. I have the approximate knowledge of everything.
Sorry, Adventure Time made me think of this. Did you hear, and maybe you might actually, we have talked about this. Do you see that they're just going to recast the voices of Rick and Morty?
I did see that, yeah.
That seems, and there's two sides where some people are like, there's so many voice actors that can do it that like that are on TikTok.
Yeah.
That they could probably find an impersonator, but they might also just go a completely different direction. There's a girl that I went to junior high school with and she had a black.
She's a great Rick.
No. I'm past that. She had a black t-shirt and it had on it the words that I believe were his letter, Kurt Cobain's letter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was probably from somewhere like Hot Topic.
Probably.
But yeah, I just remember being like, are those lyrics to one of his songs? And she was like, no, this is a suicide note. I was like, oh.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's really dope, actually. The rock star died in 1994, and he was 27 years old.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Because we've kind of talked about Kurt Cobain before.
Episode 5.
Yeah. Way back when.
Are you still going to do, you still have any intention of doing a full Kurt Cobain episode? I know there's a point in time where you did.
I want to, but also my thoughts are actually, I think, a little crazy.
I think that our listeners would be absolutely fine. I think you should wait till maybe, and I'm not wishing this on you, maybe you get COVID again and or just any sickness. It doesn't have to be COVID. I don't want to put that out there. Maybe you get like a little cold a little cold, baby cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe you take some medicine.
A lot of medicine.
And then we record.
Because I feel very passionate about this subject.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go into it because you will all think I'm insane.
That's perfect. But anyway, I'll let you continue down in a right state of mind.
I'm not going to talk about my theories about his death on this episode. But his death was actually ruled a suicide. He took his own life with a shotgun after leaving a note. He did struggle with heroin, drug use, and he also had a lot of demons. His death is filled with conspiracy theories besides my own, and I don't necessarily believe the ruling of his death.
We did talk more about it in episode 5, right?
Like, we did, yeah.
Did you go into your conspiracies in 5?
About his death?
In the 27 Club?
No.
Not even a little bit?
I don't know.
I don't remember, to be honest.
Well, the thing about it is my conspiracy, it incriminates someone who I don't think I should publicly incriminate.
Oh, I like that person, so let's not incriminate them.
I'm not
going to. I know your
to.
Theory now. Let's not do your theory.
Yeah. You're like, oh, yeah, that's a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his ghost. It's true that Kurt did kill himself in the greenhouse in the Seattle home. There have been lots of connections with suicides that lead to hauntings, and this may be another case to that connection. From the Inquirer, quote, "It's hard to sell," said a local real estate source. "Too many people believe his spirit is still there, occupies this space." Another quote, "Kurt was a tortured soul, especially at the time of his death. Music industry insider. His spirit, I believe, haunted the house, and I believe his wife Courtney knew it," end quote.
I want the credentials of a podcast industry insider, but just that. Like, I don't ever want to be actually quoted. I just want to say, that Mike's dope, said a
podcast industry insider.
Insider.
Yeah.
I feel very much on the outside, but we'll work on that.
There's also, Courtney talked about how Kurt came to her in her dreams a couple of times while in the house. And that's the connection, too, between a lot of spiritual things, that people come to people in dreams.
I guess it's like when you're subconscious, you know, it's like when your guard's down, you have this, I feel like it's just a completely different state, where maybe if there is, you know, some type of plane where there's spirits, and maybe it's just easier to communicate. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't speak to it. It feels like if you believe in that and you believe in ghosts in that way, it seems like it's not too hard to consider that maybe ghosts would have an easier time communicating with you in that state.
Yeah, it's like you're like I don't know, and you know how to describe it. It's like your guards are down.
Although, like, I think I referred to this a couple episodes ago, where it was like the subconscious is like a completely different part of your brain which you can't control,
mm-hmm.
which is why your dreams can catch you off guard. So it's like kind of like the subconscious, this part of you that is you that you can't really control, could be the one taking on the form of
mm-hmm.
Kurt Cobain, yeah. or Tupac
comforting yourself.
Yeah. But, yeah. you know, who am I to say it's not some ghost?
I mean, I don't know. So this next one is a big one. Elvis died in 1977.
I'm glad you said that, because I did not know the year.
The king was only 42 when he died.
So they say.
Of a heart attack. I don't believe in these conspiracy theories at all.
You think he's gone?
Yes. Yes, I do. He declined in his health. He basically was stagnant, and he was hooked on prescriptions and had bad habits that led to him suffering his heart attack. According to the Wide Open Country website, people have seen Elvis since his death, and even his wife is convinced of his lingerings. Quote, apparently, visitors have caught glimpses of Elvis's face in glass casings around the house, or even felt his presence next to the closet of his famous jumpsuits. It's also rumored that you can hear his singing from the second floor of the mansion, which is kept private for the family and not open to any patrons at all, end quote.
I wonder if it's like his low singing or like his younger, higher singing.
That's an interesting thought. I don't know. Didn't say.
It's because it's like, okay, so like he died at what, 42?
Yeah.
Like, is your spirit, like, are you forever that 42-year-old spirit, or does it shift in ages, or, you know?
I wonder if it's both.
I have no idea.
There's another quote. In fact, it's not just visitors. Priscilla Presley told The Guardian, his spirit communes to me. When I go to Graceland, my gosh, I can walk through that door and see him walking down the stairs. I can hear laughter. I can hear music playing in the music room. It's a very surreal feeling, but it's not scary. It's beautiful, end quote. Which is nice. I don't know if she means that quite literally, but still really nice.
It's interesting how, and I guess none of these, I mean, opinions aside on Michael Jackson, none of these people are like murderers. Like, you know what I mean? Like the type of people mm-hmm. that you might expect to die and then haunt you in like a negative way.
Yeah. A lot of them did have rough lives though.
Yes, that's true. And they all died typically on the younger side.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, 50 and 42 are still very young. Yeah.
And it's like dying in tragic ways, having mm-hmm. rough lives, and then being younger. So it seems like there's still more for them to do. So it does fit the mold of like what you'd expect a lingering ghost to be like. It's just unique, and I guess, I don't want to say cool, but like, it's nice that the hauntings aren't like what you would watch.
Yeah, they're not scary.
They're not a Blumhouse horror film that you're watching in a packed movie theater. No, these are
more just like, I'm here. Or
presence.
Like,
it's a presence.
Yeah. And that's, I did kind of want to take that direction after last week's episode because it was really goddamn creepy.
Yeah. No, there's nothing wrong with
yeah.
The bizarre can also be the pleasant.
It's true. So this next one is Amy Winehouse. She was also 27 when she died.
2000. Okay. I'm not going to say 12, but I wanted to say 2011 and 2013. 11. Okay.
That's almost like a knack. That's crazy. That's nuts, man. Good job. So this death is a little more involved. Amy's bodyguard had been at the house the day before. He reported that she had been having a good time, laughing. She was bubbly. She had been out late, and he reported seeing her at 2 a.m. watching TV. The next morning around 10 a.m., he checked her. He couldn't wake her up, but he didn't think anything of it because she had been up late, and that was normal for her. He checked again at 3 p.m., and after not getting a response, he checked her pulse. After not finding one, he called the medics. At 3:54, she was pronounced dead at the scene. Now, this is a quote from the coroner. They reported on October 26, 2011. They said, Whitney's blood alcohol content was 416 mg per 100 ml, which is a 0.16% at the time of her death, more than five times the legal drinking limit. According to the coroner, quote, the uninitiated consequences of such potential fatal levels was her sudden death, end quote.
That was just the abstract of a multi-page, I'm assuming.
It was longer, yeah. But it basically just means that she drank herself to death.
So it was, who was it that tried to wake her up?
Her bodyguard.
Wow. That is such a different lifestyle.
Yes.
For me, it's either my phone or my cat. My bodyguards don't exist.
No. It's me.
It's you. You don't really wake me up then. I'm okay with that.
I've never done that.
We can keep that
dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah. Relationship. Yeah. Where you don't wake me up.
No. You have woken me up. You've woken me up through phone calls before.
I have.
Yeah. That's okay. I don't mind that.
Okay. I don't know if I'm your bodyguard though.
No, I don't think so. That's okay though.
You got a little pew pew.
I do. I have too.
Hopefully that doesn't ever wake you up.
No. That'd be wild. All right. So the ghostly encounters from Amy. This is a quote from the India Times from her dad. Because he says he feels her spirit frequently. He said, quote, we do have our moments, particularly on her birthday, September 14th. It's hard. After 3 years, I was thinking maybe that one day she'll come back in the same shape or form. And she does come back, not physically, but spiritually, all the time. I cannot begin to tell you how much she is around, end quote. And he continued, quote, there are lots of strange happenings. Her spirit comes and sits on the end of my bed. She just sits there and looks like her with her beautiful face, and she looks at me. I say to her, are you all right? Because I get nervous with her being there. But it's a comforting kind of way to know she's here around me, end quote. So yeah, that's like that continues with the same idea that we had before, that it's like this comforting presence.
It is interesting though.
Like that she had her own demons, but
it's typically a friend, partner, family that are experiencing this, and it doesn't make it less credible to me, but it would have been like, I don't know, I feel like when you're that close to somebody, like, you know, you could walk into a room and feel their presence, but it's like the desire to, or just like you're going back to a time where you would experience it that every day. I don't know, like for me it would hold more weight, I think, with other people encountering them, but That's for the discussion. We're not quite there yet.
Okay. So this next one is, I think you're a big fan of this one, Heath Ledger.
2008. Well, or 2007. I mean, I believe it was 2008. That's when The Dark Knight came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. The 28-year-old had just finished his role in The Dark Knight and was still dwelling on the character.
The Joker.
Yes. However, his personal life was falling apart who's suffering from insomnia, and he had just gotten out of a long relationship. He was also really into this mindset of the Joker. In an interview with Ledger, he said, quote, I sit around in a hotel room in London for about a month, locked myself away, formed a little diary, and experimented with voices, end quote. He died from a cocktail of medication, specifically acute intoxication.
I remember reading an article, I think it was from Jack Nicholson, who was telling him not to do the Joker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he really got involved in a way that was probably unhealthy, because he was very method.
He was very method. And I don't think, like, the Joker, obviously people have done the Joker since, but I think when you kind of are in that state of mind and where his life was at and the way he went that deep, it was just like the perfect storm of bad things to happen, even though it was, you know, an amazing performance.
I would say possibly the best Joker ever. Definitely up there.
Yeah. I think, yeah. It's probably one of my favorites for sure.
Mm-hmm. So his encounters, the place where Heath died in Soho, Manhattan apartment, is said to be haunted by his spirit. From the insider, quote, I hear noises, strange noises at night that scare me. I just say to myself that it's the wind or the street noise, but it's very scary to me. Another person backed up the claims by adding that she also heard the creepy familiar laugh as she walked by the house after her late night shifts at a restaurant.
So are they saying it's not necessarily just haunted by Heath, but it's Heath being the Joker?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
That takes it to a whole nother level.
Apparently, the women also hear what sounds like Heath's laugh as the Joker in the movies. Quote, I hear laughing, but it's not the joyful sort. She noted, I've seen the movie. If I told you that the laugh didn't remind me of the way Heath sounded as the Joker, I'd be lying. As crazy as that sounds. Unquote. Yeah, so it's like, the claims are that basically Heath became so enraptured in the Joker that he took it to the grave. And it's still there.
Hmm.
The next one I have is Lucille Ball. Do you know who that is?
I do. I have no idea on the year, though. Zero.
1989.
I would not have guessed that.
Crazy, right? The 77-year-old died in 1989 from abdominal aerobic aneurysm. She woke up in the middle of the night with severe pain in her back. She passed out, and then she never woke up again. It's not much to it. It sounds, you know, awful, but
no, that sounds terrible.
Lucille's home was said to be sold after her death, and the new owners decided to remodel it, and remodeling a home is something that's said to trigger ghost activity. This may be why her ghost started to haunt her house. So a quote from House Beautiful says, quote, sightings include reports of unexplained broken windows, loud voices coming from the attic, and furniture moving around the home. Well, it could have been another ghost. There was one eyewitness who said she saw Lucy visit the property after her passing. A friend of Lucille's drove past the property to see the home one last time. Walls were missing, and he could see Lucy's old bedroom. He then noticed a tall, slim redhead peering through the fence at what was left. She turned slowly toward him and realized it was Lucy. She looked upset and confused. She then walked around the south corner of the house and disappeared. End quote.
He saw all that while driving?
No, he stopped and went into the house.
Like, whoa.
Yeah.
A rubbernecking.
Yeah. But yeah, they're remodeling the house, basically, the new people.
Yeah. I like how she's like, yeah, it could be some other ghost. But like, it's just like, there's no other explanation besides paranormal. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, it's not the question of whether it's a ghost. It's what ghost?
Mm-hmm. Who's ghost?
This is the first time we're seeing, well, although I guess Heath's is kind of tied to the spooky a little bit, but this is the first one where it seems less than pleasant.
Yeah, it's just because it's almost that traditional, like, what is happening to my house? I can't think of a movie that does that, but there's some. The last one is the one that is the catalyst for this episode for me is the ghost of Monet in Cleveland. Monet died in 1926. He was known for his impressionism and 20th century art. He had lung cancer and passed away from lung cancer.
Did he smoke?
Yes. The Cleveland Museum was doing an exhibition of paintings, the modern garden, Monet to Matisse. And this is a quote from Art News, quote, the man resembling Claude Monet was seen peering down the lower lobby outside of the special exhibition hall. Kelly Notaro, communications associate with the museum, told Today.com, quote, this snapshot taken of the staff member, not retouched or photoshopped. And we have heard from the others that they've seen this man, but he hasn't been confirmed in his identity, end quote. I have two pictures. The first one is the quote unquote ghost.
Was it taken by an art gallery insider?
It was.
Okay. That's okay.
Okay. Have you been to the Cleveland Art Museum?
Yes. Yeah. I was there a year ago.
I know exactly where that is. This is Monet.
Hmm. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I agree. And that is what that inspired it. Maybe he's following his art.
Maybe he just loves the land.
Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Or maybe it's just like this because they're celebrating and they're celebrating his art. He kind of felt like this connection. I like to think it's that. Those are famous ghost encounters of famous people. Let's talk about this in the discussion. Before we get to the discussion, we'd like to stop and thank our patrons for subscribing and thank the new patrons as of this recording for joining us. They are Veronica, Davin, Irene, Lauren, Brock, and Cheese McGee. Yep.
You had a little what's the word I'm looking for? Sensory on the last one, but I think it's for the best.
I did indeed. But Tyler, while we have you here, why don't you tell the new patrons what they can experience on the Patreon?
It's hard to catch me when we're recording. But we appreciate you being here. There's so much extra bonus content. We have our music out there as ringtones.
It's a bop.
It is, both of them, front and back. We got wallpapers, we have quizzes, we play games like Do You Believe the Bizarre, social media responses, where every Monday on Instagram we put out questions by producer Ben. You respond to it, we look at your responses and respond to them ourselves. We do bizarre news, we do Beyond the Bizarre, we do interviews with the people that send us their listener submission stories, theatrical readings. We watch movies together on Netflix with patrons. We hang out on Google Meet and just shoot the breeze for an hour with our patrons. Tons of bonus content. We're adding new things. We just had a production meeting recently where we were talking about new ideas because we're always trying to keep things going.
It was great. It was at a Mexican restaurant.
And it was delicious. And you also get, if you're in our dedicated tier, an exclusive t-shirt that you cannot buy. It is sent to you after being in that tier automatically for 3 months.
It is a unique look.
It is.
We do not have another shirt that looks like that.
Nothing. Mostly because that designer is no longer with us. As in, with us. She's not dead. I hope. But anyway, check it out. If you like the podcast, you want a little bit more, a little bit extra bonus content. We got stuff going all the way back through May of 2021. And we did just recently drop an awesome theatrical reading, which is a narrative-based fictional story, heavy music, heavy sound effects, great voice acting. So it's fresh. It's new out there. So if you want the bonus content, it is there for you to check out.
Yeah, I love that. But Tyler, let's get back to the episode. Okay, Tyler, so I just talked a lot about ghosts. We like ghosts. We believe in ghosts.
Gosh.
These are not scary experiences.
No, but it's not like ghosts have to be scary.
No, they can be comforting, reaffirming. That being said, which do you think is the most believable of the encounters?
Of all of them?
Yeah. There's some which I think are a little like, I think you're just wishful thinking. How many of these you think are wishful thinking?
I would say the Amy Winehouse. Is probably a little bit wishful thinking.
You think so? He feels it on her bed? I don't know.
The Elvis one is probably wishful thinking.
I buy that one.
One of the first ones. Who was the first person?
First was Michael Jackson.
Not Whitney Houston. Not Michael Jackson. Who's the second?
The one in between the one. I can't remember.
I don't know.
Marilyn Monroe.
No, I don't. When the only person sensing.
John Lennon?
I don't know.
The John Lennon one, I think, makes a lot of sense because that's such dramatic death. No, the two people that saw him standing there.
Yeah.
They don't even know him. Like, they're just two residents. And he was killed so dramatically in front of his son.
There was a detail you said earlier where I said, which detail was it?
I said a lot of stuff.
Man. I know, that's the problem. I said, if it wasn't for this, I could have chalked it up. But there was something you said.
Was it Kurt? It wasn't Kurt. It was Marilyn, because it was in her room.
Yes. Okay, that's right. It was, yeah.
That one's interesting because I do feel like it pokes a bear of like.
That's right. Because they filmed, that was the detail. They filmed the movie in the place where she literally died.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine what kind of spiritual pressure that would add.
That's true. But I feel like it also like fits the idea that you're putting so much thought and energy into something that you kind of put it out there, even if it's not externally there.
I've said it before. I do think that dreams are harder for me to believe.
Well, like Tupac?
Tupac. Who else is in a dream? A couple other ones. Dreams I find harder to believe than actual, like, seeing it while you're awake. Because I do think that there's an inherent want to see these people.
Yeah, and it's your subconscious.
Yeah. So maybe, I mean, I'm sure Tupac influenced Kendrick. I'm sure of that in some fashion.
Sure.
John Lennon talking to Yoko.
Is that the dream?
It wasn't a dream, but also it's the only encounter, not many encounters of ghosts talking while being awake and conscious.
Oh, that's right. Where he said, like, don't worry or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily dubious to me, but strange. Strange. We don't find many of those encounters.
The Lucille Ball one is very interesting just based on, it's more so up the alley of the type of episode or topic we do on this podcast anyway.
Yeah.
Where, you know, like someone dies, they rearrange the house and start changing things and it disrupts the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They can no longer follow like their path and then it causes disruption.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's most believable. And the gentleman that stopped and saw her, like, I don't know. It's tough because these are such high profile people, but then it'd be like if we did an episode, like imagine I did an episode and like the extent of the evidence was like one person felt their presence in there. Like, yeah. If we did that episode, would we go believable? You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. And I'm not saying there needs to be more.
That's almost the problem with this, is that there's no bangers for these.
It's mostly someone who knew them feels their presence. But it's like, mm-hmm. I feel like when you have that much of an impact on people, it's like how many people lose, you know, like if you lose a sibling and you go back to the house you grew up in, you might feel them there because you spent so much time with them there. And I'm not saying that everybody here, that's the extent of it. I'm not saying none of these have had ghost encounters. And I think what backs that up is the fact that, like you were saying, it's either dying in a traumatic way, yeah. Having a rough life, like not living the fulfilled life. Like you said, Lucille Ball was like 77. So that's mm-hmm. a little different. Maybe she was prodded more based on the house. But, you know, if somebody's in their 20s, there's still a lot of energy to
die young. A lot of them did die very young.
Yeah.
And even like not like young, like in their 20s, but like 42, like Elvis, that's still young enough. And I do think because a lot of them are traumatic, they do fit that mold of finding a way to be a ghost. So,
and it's not so random because it is people like the people that stay in the hotel room that Heath was at, you know, or like with Marilyn Monroe, it's doing the film in the room that she died. So it's like, it's not like they're randomly at some house and they feel like, oh, John Lennon's in here. You know, it's like, it's at least there's some relevance to it.
There's a reason why it would be there.
Which a lot of random people wouldn't have access to besides the Heath Ledger one with it being a hotel.
Like Whitney's mom and the woman that stayed in the room where she died.
Mm-hmm.
Which one's the least believable to you?
I don't know why. I for some reason have a hard time imagining that Heath in the afterlife is in the character of the Joker.
I knew you were going to say
that. It could be an energy-based thing. Like the energy that he brought to that room. It's almost like an impression, right?
Yeah.
Like if you stare at something bright, you close your eyes, you look somewhere else, you see an impression of that. It could be like, it's not Heath, but like all that energy he poured out. It's okay, theater, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they say theaters are so haunted because of all the energy and emotion mm-hmm. you're putting out there.
This laughter, pain, hatred, all that stuff.
Could have been like that hotel room was Heath's theater.
Yeah.
Where he left that part of himself out there and that lingers. And that's an explanation for it, but I don't know if I buy it.
Mm-hmm. I like that explanation a lot for that. Ultimately, I'm going to go first. I land on believable for these. Not necessarily all of them, I think, are believable,
mm-hmm.
but the majority, I think, are. There's good consequences for them. It makes sense that these people would want to reach out to their loved ones. You know, I buy ghosts in general.
I'm going
to
go viable. I think it's definitely possible. I'm definitely closer to believable than not believable. I do believe in ghosts. I think in some instances, it's just family members wanting that type of closure.
I agree. It could be.
And just feeling the energy that used to be there. But that doesn't mean that all of them are that way. And I definitely can't discount them. You know, there's a strong possibility that at least a couple of them were legitimate ghost sightings. So I'll go viable.
So that is the episode, Ghosts of the Famous. Famous ghosts.
Famous ghosts.
Well, not famous ghosts, because they're like famous ghosts, like The hashling slasher.
The slash slinging, the stash bringing, the smash slinging.
I can't think of a real one right now, but I'm sure there's real famous ghosts. These are famous ghosts of the famous people.
Like celebrity ghosts?
Celebrity ghosts. That might be a better title for this. Yeah. I really like the Monet one. That's, I didn't really think we talked about the end there, but I like the idea that Monet is following his work. What?
I'm not gonna lie. From the moment that part of the episode was done until right now, forgot about it. Yeah, sorry. The entire, like, from the moment that was done to the Patreon discussion to now, forgot about it.
It was a quick thing. It was a quick article
too. But it's funny because that inspired the whole episode.
It did. I think there's more important things to talk about in this, though. But anyway, thank you for listening. I really hope you enjoy this episode. It's a big talking point. It's a talking point you can get a lot out of, especially with friends and family.
Yeah. Let us know, and like when we post this out there, let us know which one you think is the most believable, or if there's a celebrity ghost sighting that you've heard about.
Yeah. And if you enjoyed listening to this episode and you're on Apple, please feel free to leave us a review and 5 stars. And if you're on Spotify, leave us 5 stars, please.
And if you're looking for a little more bonus content, like we said, we are on Patreon. And if you want to wear some Believing the Bizarre merchandise, like hats, hoodies, tank tops, t-shirts, we do have all of that, and mugs and more, and posters, go to believingbizarre.com, go to shop our merch, and check it out.
Again, go check out Belief Hole Podcast. Great structure, great sound engineering. We really think you'll enjoy the podcast. We do.
Yeah, it's a really good show, so make sure to check that out. But anyway, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
Podcast as bizarre as you are. And anesthetics. Anesthetic. There we go. Third time's the charm.